Last Tuesday, transportation people were abuzz over initial reports that the president and congressional Democrats were getting along over the question of funding for infrastructure. But in the hours and days that followed, the sweet sound of the post-meeting news conference quickly turned into sour commentary over the $2 trillion question: how do we pay the bill? The president's chief of staff was clear there would be no tinkering with tax reform. Anti-tax groups worked hard to throw cold water on calls for gas tax increases, and raised eyebrows could be seen all over the Hill. Another White House meeting is planned for mid-May. If it happens, will it be worth the wait? Is there any way to reach agreement on a plan to pay for road and bridge projects? 43 members of Congress sat at the guest table Wednesday during a hearing of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, each of them sharing their hopes and fears for the work ahead. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer of Maryland said Americans are eager for an agreement.
As part of that effort last Congress, I traveled around the country, hosting listening sessions with members of their local communities. What we heard everywhere we went was that the needs were massive, both to rebuild as life cycles near retirement and to get ahead of the challenges we know technological advancement will bring. We also heard how private capital has some role to play, although clearly public investment will be the major part of our rebuilding effort. But there is no substitute for robust public investment, particularly in those areas and those projects that don't promise the private sector profit. Everyone can see that roads, railways, bridges, airports, seaports, sewers, and water systems across the country are in desperate need of repair.
This is Hard Facts. I'm Robert Johnson. As the debate rages over funding transportation projects, the introduction of a bill to enact fiscal review happened quietly a few weeks ago. That's when Congressman Pete Stauber, a Republican from Minnesota, introduced the PAID Act, requiring states to conduct a life cycle cost analysis on any project that includes more than $30 million in federal funds. We visited with the congressman in his office last Thursday. Here's that conversation. So let's just begin talking about the infrastructure news of the year so far, the president's meeting with congressional Democrats at the White House. What's your take on that whole thing?
Well, I'm glad they're talking with each other. You know, I think that what came out of that meeting is we have definitely the need for an infrastructure project in this country. You know, our federal highways and bridges are 50, 60 years old. It's time that we invest into them and make sure that our roads and bridges continue to be safe. And for me on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, that was really good news. There's good things going on, and I am one that really wants to look forward to that investment into our federal infrastructure.
People were fairly encouraged coming out of the meeting, even the talk of another get-together in a few weeks. Of course, then we started coming down to reality, talking about the money, which is always the issue. What's your take on that?
So, you know, the authorization is easier, much easier than the appropriations. But the bottom line is I think there's a bipartisan need and a desire to put forth an infrastructure package to better this nation's highways and bridges. And I think that these healthy discussions, you know, it might be a mixed bag of one idea or the other idea, but I don't think we can afford to kick the can down the road any further for the next generation. We are brought here by our constituents that asked us to make these decisions wisely and to make sure that the public roadways remain safe, and that's a goal of mine.
You're a new face here on the congressional scene. What are the people in your district saying about infrastructure? Do you hear about that when you're talking to them, or are they off on other things that they would think might be more important?
No, infrastructure is critically important. It's one of the highest priorities coming out of this Congress. And as a St. Louis County, Minnesota commissioner, I was the chair of Public Works and Transportation for 2 years, and we were responsible for 6,000 lane miles and over 300 bridges that we were responsible for. And what we did, we enacted a 0.5% sales tax that went directly to roads and bridges for 20 years, and it's paying off greatly in northern Minnesota. And we talk about there's no roads that are Democratic roads or Republican roads. As my predecessor, Jim Oberstar, talks about, they're roads for us all.
What do you think is likely to happen at the next get-together or even beyond that with the process between now and the end of the year. Do you have any thoughts or ideas about what you'd like to see, what you think will go down?
Well, you know, in our transportation infrastructure hearings, you know, Chairman DeFazio and Ranking Member Graves, they talk about the T&I committee is one committee that should be nonpartisan, bipartisan, moving this agenda forward. And I'm seeing that in our discussions, in the relations I've built on the other side of the aisle. We all want it. The appropriations is going to be that heavier discussion, but our goal is to bring an infrastructure package to this nation.
Are there any other obstacles beyond the pay-fors in your mind?
I don't think so. There's a need without question. So I think that would be probably the heaviest lift.
The big number that came out of the meeting was $2 trillion. The conversation about that is now, you know, hot and heavy. Like, what does that mean? Where does it come from? All of that. When you're spending that kind of money, you want to make sure it's being spent properly. And you've introduced the PAID Act, which goes to that. Can you tell us why you decided to sponsor that bill and what it means for you?
Well, as I just alluded to, I was a Public Works and Transportation Chair for St. Louis County, Minnesota. I understood that to make wise investments using the taxpayers' money, it's critical that we do it right. And that's why I put forth the PAID Act, you know, preserving America's infrastructure dollars. And really what that says is any federal dollars over $30 million to local projects, that you look at the life cycle cost analysis of it, it still keeps the decision locally. Those local engineers are going to make the decision, but this says, hey, take a look at the cost benefit and you make the decision. All it is it's another opportunity for the taxpayers to understand that their taxes are being used wisely and for great projects.
Have you heard anything pro or con about the bill since you introduced it?
There's some talk about the pros and cons. You know, some of the other industries have some concern about it. But my goal is not to have the federal government make the decision on what we use on our roads and bridges as far as surface. It allows the local engineers. I'm all about bringing it as local as I can. And that's what I'm most proud of, that the federal government does not decide what goes on our roads. It's the local engineers and those local project managers.
It's an analysis, not a mandate.
That's exactly right. That's a great way to put it. I think I'm going to use that.
Please do.
It's an analysis, not a mandate. Thank you. That's a good one.
Do you think that in the end, language like that gets folded into something else, or does this bill, as it works its way through the process, end up being something that goes on its own? What do you think there?
You know, we'll have to wait and see. We just put it forward. It's got a really good chance of moving both in the House and the Senate. So I'm looking forward to those discussions. But the bottom line is when we invest in our infrastructure, we have an obligation to make sure that we're using the taxpayers' monies wisely. And this is exactly what the PAID Act does.
It seems that it makes common sense to try to stretch your dollars as far as possible.
Of course. Nobody's going to argue with that. We want to make sure that these investments are used wisely and they're implemented across this nation. From east to west, north and south, we have federal highways and bridges that need to be replaced, and we can't wait any longer. I was not elected by my constituents out of Minnesota's 8th Congressional District to sit and not do anything.
You could also argue that whatever the final number is that comes out of Congress and gets approved by the president for any kind of infrastructure investment, that saving money on jobs just gives you more money to do more jobs.
That's exactly right. We know that when you invest the right way, being prudent with the dollars, you can stretch them a long way. And we know that in the federal government, there's areas of spending that we can reduce, programs that may not be working as well as they originally thought. So it's definitely a great discussion.
For the members of the Portland Cement Association, there's 600,000 people in the North American Concrete Alliance. PCA is part of that. What do you need from them as you work to shepherd this legislation here in Washington?
Well, I think just letting the House members and the senators know that this PAID Act is a really good bill. It keeps it local, and we know that we need an infrastructure bill coming out of the 116th Congress, and help us champion, help the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee members champion this to other members in the House and the Senate. That's the way we're going to do it. We need that good conversation. We need that continued pressure to make sure that we bring an infrastructure project to the American people and the American roads.
Next week, we'll share comments from members of Congress and industry groups meeting on Capitol Hill. They're calling for increased investment in America's surface transportation network. That's Wednesday, May 15th on Hard Facts, a podcast production of the Portland Cement Association. I'm Robert Johnson. I'll see you then.